This morning, I want to present a case. The case is simple. The case is about decisions. I don't know if we've ever thought before about the decisions we make literally do one of two things. They either confirm or they compromise values. Decisions either confirm or compromise values. There's not a time, a day goes by, there's not a week that goes by where every one of us in here have to make decisions of some sort or another. From very life-changing decisions to maybe some that aren't quite as vital or as life-changing, but they're still all important decisions that we need to make. And I personally love the Old Testament. I'm sorry I'm not in line with the newer preachers today that believe that the Old Testament is not relevant for today, because it is relevant. Some of my favorite characters are in the Old Testament. And he's one that I want to look at today. And his name is Daniel. I want to look at Daniel because in Daniel, the sixth chapter, there is a lesson being taught to us by Daniel about how to make good decisions that confirm the values and the principles that we have. And I'll tell you why those are so important, is because we have others watching us. We have children watching us. And they're watching how and what kind of decisions we make. Too many times, we allow the world around us to influence our decisions. We do. We allow the world, we allow the political environment to dictate how we make decisions. We let our personal economic profiles, we let that dictate to us how we make decisions. We let the group to which we hang out with or might influence us, we let them make influences on our decisions and how and what we make. I love Daniel because he didn't allow the world around him and the environment in which he lived in to influence his decision making. Regardless. That, I say that as a word of encouragement to you because it encourages me. I was sharing in Sunday school class this morning with our class. You know, I can understand non-believers attacking. I can understand non-believers doing what they do against Christians. I mean, that's understandable. I have no, you know, I don't debate that. But you know what really bothers me? It's Christians that attack Christians. That's what bothers me. Because as was read in Psalm 133 this morning, we are a family and we are united. There is no place to be divided. No place to be divided. But sometimes in our decisions, we may have to stand alone. Let me ask you something. Are we willing to do that? You've always heard during many of the invitations, believing in Jesus is the road to salvation, but it's more than walking an aisle and being baptized. It's about surrendering your all to Him. It's about giving everything you are to Him. That's real salvation. When you stand alone and you have to make a decision that confirms your values and principles, That's when the road gets tough. Our political environment in this country is in literal shambles. Okay, so it's in literal shambles. Is that going to affect my decisions on what I make to do in the name of the Lord and what He's called me to do? I pray not. So what can I do to strengthen those decisions for me and for you? Daniel gives us an awesome example here. He does throughout the whole book of Daniel, but this one really speaks to me. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word and follow along in chapter 6 of Daniel, verses 1 through 10. And then remain standing for prayer. And the word of God says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of which Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.' So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, 'King Darius, live forever. And the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, and the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Let us pray. My Father, my God, I thank you for your word. It is life to us, Lord Jesus. It is counsel to us, Lord. And I thank you so much for it. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through this message today, Lord God, I pray that it be an encouragement. And Lord God, that we can understand the vital role that we play as your children in this world. It may not be politics. It may not be in the wealth realm of the world. But it is in the far greatest, most important area, and that is the area of spiritual life and truth. Lord God, I just pray that we, as your people, can see an example from Daniel as to the decision that he made and how it affected his life. And Lord God, you are in control. You are the deliverer. You are the sustainer. You are the one, Lord God. But I am not afraid of death, because death is just relief from this turmoil, this agony. For through it one day I will stand in your presence and praise your holy name and give thanks to you. Lord, it is in your precious name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. As I thought about this and as I looked at this chapter, there are 6 specific things I think that we can find out of this chapter that will encourage us in the way we make decisions, okay? Because I believe Daniel demonstrated those himself. So as we think about decisions that we may have to make today, or just big decisions that we may need to make tomorrow, how can we make sure that those decisions confirm our values and principles? Those are important, my friend. They're the only thing we're going to take into heaven with us, is the values and the principles that we have held on to here. So what have we intended? What have we demonstrated through our decisions? I want us to see, first of all, number one, that we need to weigh out the options that are in front of us. We need to look at them. What options do we have? Well, let's look at Daniel, for example. His options, he weighed them out. Didn't take him long. It was pretty quick. It was simply this: please God or please the king. Please God or please the king, or be faithful to God or be faithful to the king. That's the principles by which we live, right? Is that we're here to please God, bring glory to God, be faithful to God, and represent God as an ambassador. That's what the Bible tells me. That's what it tells me about you too. We're in this together. When we come to a decision, we need to look at the options. If he was to say, well, it's only for 30 days, I'll do that for 30 days and then I'll get back on my regular regiment, he would have compromised the principles by which he did everything prior to chapter 6 he did for the glory of God. He wouldn't eat the meat from the table of the king because it was meat that was served to idols. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they gave their lives up because they were not going to worship an idol. They lived and made decisions of their lives by the principles and the values in which God's word gave them. We have no excuse, my brother and my sister, because we have the values right before us. What God desires from his children. And we need to weigh out the options. You know, one person one time said to me a long time ago, he said, why is it you can live your life in absolute perfect harmony, doing everything right, and then do one thing wrong, and that's all anybody remembers? Everything else has been null and void. And that's the way human nature is. That's exactly the way it is. So if he would have said, okay, it's only 30 days, I can do this, I'll abide by the law, do you think anything he did prior to that would have been important? I don't believe so. Because human nature said, well, yeah, he did that, but look at this. He bowed to King Darius. He didn't worship his God. So it evidently wasn't that important to him. I'm here to tell you, we are going to be brought to that very same kind of a decision in our country today. They're working at taking away anything that has to do with real Christianity and real belief. So you know what? Daniel's instance here, it isn't isolated. It's coming to America. What is the decision we're going to make? Are we going to please God, or are we going to please the heathen, please the nation, and please the country? You know, too many people love to repeat that verse that says, you know what, we're to submit to the authority of our government. And you know, we are when our government is doing exactly what the Bible outlines a government is supposed to do. But when they don't, and they infringe upon my freedoms and rights and beliefs as a believer, that's where the buck stops. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So Daniel said, okay, that's fine. I've weighed my options and here they are. I'm going to please God. Because I'm going to confirm to everybody around me. And of course, those deceptive other governors and satraps and They knew right where to get him. And you want to know this world in which we live? They're going to know right where to get us to. The faithful. Now, there's going to be those that are in churches that are going to fall away like flies off a rib roast. They will. But the ones that are committed, the ones that really believe, the ones that really love God will stand for their values. We're together and we're family. So whenever we come out, and I don't care how minor the decision we, and even minor decisions can compromise our values. Number one, weigh the options. Number two, ask yourself if those choices force you to compromise your personal values. Those choices that you have to make, are they going to compromise you? Well, for Daniel, it was going to compromise his personal choice as to whether he was going to pray or not. If he compromised his values from weighing the options and went with the king, he just compromised the fact that every day, day in and day out, he opened that window and he prayed to his God pointed toward Jerusalem. He was not willing to compromise his personal choices. He was not. Let me ask you this. They come knocking on your door. Would you be willing to fight more for your guns or for your word? Think about that for just a moment. Which is most important to you? This or the personal property which you value in high regard? Man, I had to give that a lot of thought. Shouldn't have to. Because I'll tell you what, the word is far more important to my life and my personal choices than anything else I've got in my house. The word of God. You know, in countries, I remember underground evangelism. Does anybody ever remember that? Underground evangelism used to come around to different churches and they would bring underground films from Bible smuggling in Russia, when Russia and all them were the USSR and all of that, and through the Ukraine and all that, they would smuggle Bibles printed there. And the dangers and the people that were killed because of smuggling Bibles. They refused to let a communist government keep them from taking the word of God into a place that, if caught, they would be killed. And do you know, in some places today, one page of God's word is all they have. One page. And they take it and they read it and they read it and read it till you can't hardly read it anymore. And then they pass it on to the next house Christians. And then one passes another page onto them that they read and they read and they study and they pray and they do it over and over again. They don't have a complete Bible like you and I have. That should break our hearts. I would almost guarantee to say that every one of us in this congregation have at least five Bibles of some kind in our house. At least. God's Word. Are we going to let and look at the choices accurately and appropriately and ask ourselves, is this going to compromise my testimony and my walk? Do we understand how important that testimony and that walk is? You know, I am so thankful that our church was available yesterday to a family who needed help. no place else to go in our church. You see, you know what makes up this church, right? You and I. Without us in it, it's a building. That's all it is. And man, if you can open that up and let people come in that are going to praise the Lord and worship Him, you'll never see me shutting the doors. To make sure everything is perfect and right and you get the right monies for it is not going to happen on my watch. Because let me tell you something, we're not money changers here. We are here to use this place to bring glory to God, to bring fellowship and to bring peace and to help and harmony amongst God's people. Personal choices, even the smallest things. I can't imagine had being the pastor, they came to me and I said, no, we don't let anybody do anything in here but what I'm in control of. And I want you to know there are those out there just like that. You all know why we don't charge for VBS, because I won't have it. If we can't afford to do VBS on our own budget and on our own monies, we're not going to charge people to send their kids to Bible school. Then that just means we need to dig a little deeper, do a little more, and have a heart that's open and willing to give exactly what God desires us to do. And then you and I don't have to worry about it. Amen. We're all here about God. That's who we're here about. And we're all here, as Jesus Himself said, He came to serve His Father through serving us. And we're to follow His example. What decision right now, if made a certain way, might compromise your values? That's the second thing. The third thing is the Bible tells us to seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. I'm going to tell you, the greatest example that we can see, Daniel seeking wise counsel, is when he got down on his knees and prayed. He went to the Lord. He's the greatest counselor of all. But you and I, we have an advantage today in our world because we have the Bible. It is also a awesome, super wise counselor. It gives us the word that we need for the situation that we're in. And yes, I believe all of them. God didn't short circuit His counseling for us, as many would try to make you believe. Some will say, oh, it's nothing more than a book of history. It's not. It's the book of life. It's the book of instruction for every believer on the face of this planet. It's our help. It's our strength. It's our might. The Spirit of God plants that word in our heart. Because you know, I believe simply this, when you truly trust Jesus Christ, you're empowered with the Spirit. At the moment of your conversion, you don't got to wait. You get it at the moment. And at that moment, every time you crack the Bible, every time you pray, every time you go to a Sunday school class or a good Bible-believing sermon, you get enriched by the Word of God. Seek wise counsel before you make that all-crucial decision or choice. That's the third thing. The fourth thing is, you will count the cost. What is the cost going to be of my compromise? What is the cost going to be of my confirmation of my values? Daniel had to make that choice. He counted the cost. The cost was being ripped apart by lions. That's what the cost would be should he get caught. But wait a minute. Did Daniel care about getting caught? Evidently not, because he opened the window and did everything that he did previously. There was no question in his mind. None. then why should there be a question in our mind as to whom we're going to serve? Joshua said it best, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You Israelites, you're going to have to make your own choices. Because Joshua couldn't live their lives for them. He couldn't make their choices for them. Even as husband and wife, even as I was married almost 41 years, I could never make my wife's choices and she could not make mine. I had to make my own choice. Now, I thank God so many times if I presented my case to her, her insight was very important and helped me not make a bad choice. But I still had to make the choice. You see, the cost was death or life for Daniel. That was pretty simple. Someday it may be the same for us sitting here in this congregation. Death or life. Renounce God. Take a chip. Do whatever it takes to become part of the world system and you will live. I'm here to tell you, and this will ring in your mind if you've never heard it before, that is the lie of the deceiver, and you will be eternally bound to hell if you do. Because if you're really Christ's child, you're not going to take anything that is not godly. And that means the chip or the mark or anything else that the world is offering free gratis for you to live and have to eat, sleep, carry a job, have a home, all of those things. We, you and I believe when we walked and made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, we counted the cost, did we not? And the cost was far greater in receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior than living in the world where there is unrest and chaos and no peace. You see, everything. Jesus himself said, you need to count the cost. If you're going to build a building, don't build a building when you only have half the money, because it'll sit there and become an edifice to your foolishness. Are you going to make a war with half of the world and you've got only a fifth of the army to defend it? I don't think so. Not unless you, again, want to be marked as a fool of fools. But you see, not many do that anymore. They just rush right out, make impulsive decisions, compromising choices. You know what hurts me? It's to see so many of my brothers and sisters that could be in church and aren't. Not because I want to see the pews filled. It's because I want to see God glorified. That is our greatest gift to Him. That's why it hurts me to see people come. It's not about numbers. Never has been for me. It's about commitment. It's about loyalty. Doesn't that say something about where our loyalties lie? Now, does that mean that there are not times that we can't? I worked in the mines before I ever went into being a pastor. And there were some times when I worked all night on a Saturday night. I would try to go to church sometimes on Sunday mornings, but it didn't always work. I just have to go home and sleep. But I tell you what, the next opportunity I had when church was open, I would go to church. And I'm not patting myself on the back because it's not that I wanted to bring glory to me. It's because I wanted to hear what God had to say to my heart. That's why. I love Him. I love Him so much. And I'm not doubting your love for Him at all. Please don't misunderstand me. But there's going to come a time we need each other. We need to stand with each other. We need to hold hands with each other. Because when it all comes down the pike, all we're going to have is each other. The Lord and each other. So, I pray that we weigh the cost, but that our confirmation of values is far greater than our compromise to appease. Amen. The fifth thing is, when we make a decision, do we make that decision on our principles? Do we make that decision upon our principles? Principles being values. That is not really done a whole lot these days. That's why you got to have, in order to buy anything, you got to have a 60-page contract and sign it front and back on both sides on all 60 pages to try to make you legally bound to pay it back. That's the way it is today. I used to love listening to my dad talk with my grandpa, and they'd talk about things, and they'd go, we sold a cow and exchanged it for a pig over here when they were done, and there was no contracts. They shook each other's hand, and it was bound. Those days are gone. Contracts can't even hold people to their responsibility. Contracts of marriage, contracts of paybacks, contracts of anything just don't hold any weight today because we figure out a way to get by them. That's what our political system is all about today. How can we get by the people? How can we get by them? Well, they are getting by me with all kinds of things. But the one thing I'm going to hold stand on is I'm going to make the decisions that I make on the principles of God's Word. That's where I'm going to stand. Everything else can fall. And don't be sad. Because, as Brother Bob said, we've got the end of the book. We know what's going to happen. Don't try to kick against the Lord. Don't try to change what's going to happen. We need to welcome what's going to happen so that we can move on. Move on. The problem is we've got too many Christians and believers that are attached to this place. They're attached. How can you get attached to something like this? You can get attached to every little cotton-picking, stinking thing in your house you want to, and you're still going to die and leave it to somebody else. That's how attached you're going to be. Why not attach ourselves to something that's going to last for eternity? God's Word lasts through eternity. This stuff, I kind of envision heaven having its own playground for adults. I do, because we're not going to be sick. We're not going to be sore. I'm not going to walk around like I'm 100 years old. I'm going to be able to move without hurting and joints aching and all that kind of stuff. And Brother Noel sitting there saying amen and hallelujah. They'll probably have a jungle gym just for him. But you know what? Heaven's going to be a place like you and I can't even fathom. But it's real and it's there. And I love John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled, for where I am, there you will also be. Amen? That's a done deal for me. So you know what? In God's Word, you can make your decision upon His awesome principles of truth, promise, and life. Amen. The last thing is simply this. Act on your decision swiftly and firmly. The transition between verse 9 and verse 10, I love it. He heard about it, went right up to his room, opened that window, plopped down three times, knelt, and prayed to God just like he'd always done. There was no question in Daniel's mind what he was going to do. Should there be a question in our minds what we're going to do? I don't think so. And please don't tell me, well, this is the 21st century. Who cares? It was just like this back in the 17th century. Sin was sin. Sin is what defeats us. Sin is what deceives us. Sin. So let's buck up, little campers. Let's be joyful. Let's be happy. Let's be encouraged. The world don't dictate to us. We dictate to it. We've got the word that dictates to our hearts, and from our hearts we dictate to the world. You know, I read this saying I want to share with you. It says, if you take so much time making a decision that it's too late to act, then you might as well have whittled a stick. Isn't that the way it is today? We got to take time to think. Days become weeks. Weeks become months. Months become years. We don't want to act too fast. See, the problem with contemporary Christianity today is too many pastors want to survey and purvey their church crowd before themselves making a personal stand with something. I can't make you make a personal stand that I'm going to make. I can't do that. You have to choose that, whether you're going to do that or not. But they take time making sure that they get a majority vote or a unanimous vote before they want to do anything. And it was said that the suits that these kind of contemporary leaders wear is called plaid. You get it? Yeah, plaid's mixed with all kinds of colors. There's no decision. There's no pattern. There's nothing. It's just a mix. That's what they do. They just wait, wait, wait. That's what happens if we wait too long. We need to be swift, and we need to be quick, and we need to be absolutely solid in what it is we believe and the choices that we make. We leave this building, we're going to be confronted with decisions. What is ours going to be? Just a simple recap. Six things. First of all, weigh out the options in front of you. Daniel did. Second of all, let your personal choices, don't let them force compromising values on you. Thirdly, seek wise counsel. Fourth, count the cost. Fifth, decide based on biblical principles. And then finally, make your decision quick and firm. You know why I can say that? Because no matter what somebody takes from me, they cannot take from me my salvation. They cannot take from me my Jesus. They cannot take from me my love for you. They cannot take from me compassion. And they cannot take and rob from me the Spirit of God who dwells in this, His temple. They cannot take that. So as we prepare for the invitation today, let me ask you, are you surrendered to this today? Daniel was. Daniel was committed to this very truth throughout his whole lifetime. I have no clue how much longer this world is going to last. That's not my business. My business is you. My business is lost people. That's my personal choice. to be where I am. I don't want to be anywhere else. Will you make that stand? Will you make that choice? Will you decide with values that confirm your faith or compromise? Would you bow your head with me, please, for a moment? I want to ask you today, if there's one person that the Spirit may be speaking to today about their decisions and the choices they make as to whether the confirmation of their values or whether it's compromising them, I want to just pray for you this morning. If you want to change in your life and you want to surrender and give to God His glory through you, I want to just pray for you. If there's anyone here this morning, no one looking around, I would just ask you to raise your hand. Is there anyone here this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? Are you surrendered and sold out to Jesus? If you have called upon His name, then He bought you with a price. And that price was His blood. Are you surrendered to Him today? 100%. Anyone else this morning need prayer?